Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on April 3rd, 2015. Voted Best Local Radio Show in the Daily Breeze Reader Choice Poll 2014, and we are definitely looking for a repeat. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help their businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit their website at www.manhattanbeachchamber.com. That's all one word, ManhattanBeachChamber.com, or call 310-545-5313. That's 310-545-5313. You can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I am doing well this morning, Joe. How are you?
Great, wonderful. And, you know, it's amazing what's going on around the world. I think cities and townships and certainly even countries are waking up to the need for urban planning. It's not just, you know, the global warming, and it's not just, you know, the amazing issues that they have with animals in India. I mean, we may get to talk about that, but it's generally speaking, you know, we have this knowledge that has been accumulated over the years, and there's organizations like the Urban Planning Urban Land Institute,
Land Institute,
that understand what can be done, and it's exciting. And of course, here in the South Bay, in Manhattan Beach, we just had an amazing comprehensive study in Manhattan Beach. Let's talk about that today. Who are our guests, Jackie?
We have a couple of very accomplished and knowledgeable guests today, so we'll get all the answers. Our guests this morning are Mayor Wayne Powell and Community Development Director Marissa Lundstedt from the City of Manhattan Beach. Wayne Powell has served on the Manhattan Beach City Council for 6 years. He was elected in 2009 and reelected in 2013, serving twice as the mayor in 2012-2013 and currently in 2014-15. He was recently appointed chairman of the Los Angeles County Beach Commission and will serve 5 years on that commission. In addition, he serves on the board of directors of the Independent Cities Association and is a member of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Wayne has been recognized for exemplary community service by the California State Assembly, California State Senate, Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors, and the United States Congress. He led a successful campaign preventing Broad Beach in Malibu from dredging 500,000 cubic feet of Manhattan Beach offshore sand in an attempt to replenish their own eroded beach. Gosh, I remember that. He has a BS degree in business administration and accounting finance from California State University, Long Beach, and is a life member of the Phi Kappa Phi Honor Society. He is also a graduate of the League of California Cities Municipal Finance Institute. Wayne started his career at an international CPA firm where he worked in the entertainment industry. He has held senior-level executive positions for over 25 years in the motion picture, television, post-production, and music recording industries. Wayne enjoys beach volleyball, ocean swimming, and beach cleanups. He is an Eagle Scout and a life member of the National Eagle Scout Association and a founding board member and active volunteer of the Manhattan Beach Community Emergency Response Team. Wayne has devoted countless hours helping to protect Manhattan Beach's unique character and preserving and enhancing a very special way of life. Now, Marissa Lundstedt is the Community Development Director for the City of Manhattan Beach. A native Southern California, Marissa was born and raised in La Mesa, California. She has over 21 years of experience in the private and public sector fields, focusing in the areas of management, current and long-range planning, general plan and zoning code implementation, coastal development, environmental analysis, and environmental management. She strongly promotes authentic community involvement and has focused on good customer service and community and agency relationships, as well as comprehensive outreach programs. Prior to joining Manhattan Beach, Marissa served as city planning for the city of Oceanside. In this capacity, she managed all operations of the department, including budget, development reviews, coastal regulations, and environmental review. Marissa has a breadth of experience in local coastal development, specifically within the Southern California region. As principal planner for the city of Chula Vista, Marissa served as a lead planner and manager of a flagship development project along the coast of Southern California. At 535 acres, this project represented the largest available coastal development, including the largest coastal development project along the coast of Southern California. At 535 acres, this project represented the largest available coastal development opportunity in Southern California and received unanimous approval from six decision-making bodies, including the California Coastal Commission. The project also received seven national, state, and local awards and was described by the Coastal Commission as a model project for development design, outreach, and coordination with stakeholders. Marissa holds a degree in environmental science from the University of California at Berkeley and continues her graduate work at the University of San Francisco in environmental management. In her spare time, Marissa enjoys running and cycling for a local Southern California charitable organization, which provides support to people with physical disabilities so they can pursue active lifestyles through physical fitness and competitive athletics. Now, as you mentioned, Joe, back in January, the Urban Land Institute completed a comprehensive study for the city of Manhattan Beach. And this morning, Wayne and Marissa are going to drill it down for us. So, Honorable Mayor, Melissa, welcome to the program. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much. And we're going to get that middle syllable right and once in a while. Marissa, right?
Marissa. Thank you.
Marissa. No. Well,
that's okay.
It's a game. We're going to try to get it.
I'm a phonetic reader. So.
Let's start with you, Wayne, because this is big. This is, you know, any time you get as a public official to do something that's going to be have a 20-year or longer impact, and this is likely going to have a 50-year impact. It's truly big. So, from your perspective, Wayne, as a longtime public official, What a joy it must be to be a part of something like this that's going to really set the tone for so many years in the future.
It is. We want to ensure that, you know, that our downtown is healthy and vibrant, not just for today, but as you say, in, you know, all future years. And
yeah.
We want to come up with a solution that balances the needs of residents, business owners, commercial property owners, and visitors. So this is going to be that comprehensive plan. We're going to beautify the downtown. We're going to make it more walkable, bikeable, and it's going to be vibrant for years to come.
Wow. That's wonderful. And of course, the devil is in the details. Marissa, can you tell us a little bit about, with your experience, and you have such a wonderful resume, Do cities normally do this, or is this unique as it sounds for a city the size of Manhattan Beach to do an Urban Land Institute report and study?
The Urban Land Institute is a wonderful resource across the entire country for cities that are either advancing in a new direction or looking at specific issues that they want an independent perspective on. So it's not unlike other cities to embark upon this outside source to provide a more comprehensive look at either issues or just some solutions to areas where they need some advice from other experts within the field.
Mm-hmm.
Manhattan Beach is a wonderful community, and we have a lot to be proud of. We have a lot of success in the city as it stands. But one of the things that we are looking for in the city is to, like the mayor said, is to balance what the needs are for the community as well as the downtown business area. And we have a wonderful character to our city. And when the ULI panel was here, they recognized that. And that was one of the key things that we focused them on. But go ahead.
No, please do.
Oh, so that was one of the main reasons why we brought in the ULI panel. There's several levels that ULI operates at. They operate at a national level and they operate at a more local level. And the city chose the national level given their breadth of experience across the country. They do this worldwide, and it is a nonprofit organization with just a host of panel experts. So it is not unique for cities to do this when they want to really invest in their community.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we want to take the hour and really drill down. I mean, lots and lots of discussions have been done, but we want to take bits and pieces and really go down to the details. And along with that, we want to make everyone aware that you can go to citymb.info, and there's a link right there on the right-hand side, Downtown Plan, and there you will see a full page of downloads of the video playback of the ULI presentation in January, and so all the information is right there, just citymb.info, and then click on Downtown Plan, and you can follow along with all the resources behind the discussion we're going to have today. So, Wayne, let's begin with overall, how would you rate the process, and what were some of your top three or five bullet points that you think we're going to discuss today?
Well, the ULI did an outstanding job. You know, they have the expertise in various disciplines, mostly land use planning. They came with an outside-looking-in approach and actually saw things that longtime residents, such as myself, didn't see. Of course, there were some things that were no surprises. They said, you don't have any public art in downtown, which is something that I've been saying for years. Interestingly, a couple of days after they left our city, we unveiled the Lightgate art sculpture over by City Hall. But they came up with a number of great findings, one of which is that we should have a downtown-specific plan, which is essentially a land use plan on how the downtown should develop instead of, you know, developing in a willy-nilly fashion and having, you know, too much banks and office buildings as opposed to, you know, retail. And so that's going to, we're hiring a consultant, or have hired a consultant, who's going to assist in that process. They also looked at another thing that's no surprise. We have a shortage of parking. And so, you know, there's going to be a parking management plan. The interesting thing is recently there was a survey done for the city, and it showed that while residents wanted more parking, on the other hand, they didn't want, you know, if you build a parking structure or facility, the people will come, and they didn't want to have a lot of the traffic, noise, and pollution with excessive use. So that's going to be a balancing act in and of itself. The biggest thing was having urban design guidelines. And that would mean, you know, beautifying the downtown. We have a problem right now with these blue tiles that were never designed. You know, they're in the crosswalks and they're also in the sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
They were never designed to take a lot of weight. And so when construction vehicles go over, they crack and break and pop out. We're going to temporarily be replacing that with forged asphalt. But we have a long-term vision as to the beautification. And part of it will be also incumbent upon the business owners, you know, improving their storefronts, making it more like a village atmosphere. So it's going to be a public-private partnership. And as you had said, it can't happen overnight.
Right.
The big challenge will be funding, because we have limited funds. And, of course, we have to replace our aging water and sewer infrastructure, and we have other capital projects. So that will be yet another balancing act. But it's something that, we didn't have anything prior to that. We had an old downtown plan that was sitting on the shelf collecting dust. There were actually some great things in the old plan, but they were never implemented. So now we're jump-starting that, and we're going to have a great roadmap for the future, and it's going to be great, as I said earlier, for our residents, for businesses, and also, most importantly, visitors. And to the extent that we have increased business, of course, that provides increased sales tax, and that gives us money to do a lot of these projects. So it's going to be a win-win situation all around.
Now, I often use this term, inside baseball. And Marisa, what we'd like is for you to give us some of those inside baseball, you know, what are the top three things that concern the city, or that we think that not only concerns the city, but that we can actually do something about and that were reported on by ULI?
Well, there were basically, I'd like to categorize those because we gave the ULI panel some very specific direction in order to maximize their time here. There are five people that come from all over the United States, and we sat down, we briefed them on the city, we walked them through the city, and some of the four main items that we guided them through was, what is the vision of the city? You know, what specifically defines our quaint and unique downtown character? So we wanted to focus them on how the city was built, some of the more historic businesses that are in the area. That was one of the key items that the community had expressed as being one of the main topics to be addressed. Then the market potential. There's an idea of and a discussion that has been occurring about how we see the current ratio of retail chains to more of a local hometown flavor in our businesses and keeping that small town feel. So that was also a big item that was looked at by our ULI panel.
Mm-hmm.
Strategies was also is a discussion point. How are we going to get there? Once we define where we want to go, you know, what are the pros and cons of moving in a certain direction versus another? Mm-hmm. So we wanted to look at how we actually would design the area. What do we want Manhattan Beach to be defined as in the streetscape scene?
Mm-hmm.
And how would we pursue public-private partnerships that make wonderful communities successful, as the mayor mentioned? And then lastly, implementation, which is funding, which is also what the mayor mentioned. We can have a grand plan, but we have to be able to have a roadmap to get there and the funding to support it. So,
why does that always come up? Funding.
I know, that pesky funding.
Funding.
Well, there's a number of things that when there's even smaller streetscape improvements, there's a tremendous amount of work that goes into the design and then the actual construction and implementation of it. So the one thing that ULI pointed out is that we have a wonderful base of visitors that support our local economy. And there's ways and there's strategies to look at opportunities that capture that visitor base, mm-hmm. and maybe not put the burden on the residents so much. So we're looking at opportunities that help fund these great ideas. It's always one of those items that you have to look at. We don't want a plan that sits on the shelf. We want to be able to implement those and find creative ways to finance them.
Wow, you both have done such a great job of giving the bullet points that I'd asked for, and this is how people can sort of share this with others. Public art, parking, urban design guidelines, capital projects, those are some of the things that Wayne talked about, and Marisa, vision, market potential, like chains versus mom-and-pop stores, strategies, streetscapes, and funding. And, of course, both of you mentioned funding. It seems to come up a lot. So we'll try to drill down on those a little and give people links and sort of entry points into the information that's on the website as well. So, Marisa, let's talk about vision for a minute. What is the vision as sort of discovered by ULI for Manhattan Beach?
Well, they recognized what we, you know, we hold dear to our hearts here. Anybody that lives, works, and visits the city is, it's a unique city in the L.A. County area. You have parades, you have hometown events, and you have a community here that is very well connected amongst themselves and truly cares about their city. And they're actually very, very proud to live here. And so the character of it, there is an important focus on understanding the relevance of how Manhattan Beach was started and maintaining that unique character. That is what the community loves about this city, and it what draws them together. So that really has been the focus of this whole effort, mm-hmm. to be honest.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to market potential, oh my goodness, I mean, the what has happened in Hermosa is so, you know, apropos. I mean, there was the the bookstore, Either Or Bookstore, which was an iconic bookstore for decades, is no longer there. There was the ability to park on Pier Avenue, and I've heard from businesses recently that they wish that there was an ability to park on Pier Avenue again, because it sort of managed the craziness, if you will, that there was a street right down the middle. People didn't get that crazy. And
Pier Plaza,
sorry, yeah. And so when it comes to market potential, what were some of the highlights that you thought that they discovered, really, because that was the purpose, for them to discover what we wanted and what we needed?
Well, they discussed, you know, who shops in the downtown. There's about 60% of the visitors support about 60% of our overall retail space. But they also discussed, you know, is there really a market issue here? And the conclusions that they came to, that the downtown market is functioning generally in a very logical and healthy way for being a coastal community. The prices in this beautiful area, they are reflective of the proximity to the ocean, the limited quantity of beach-adjacent real estate, and obviously the market has demonstrated that there's a limited supply of downtown space, which then the rents do tend to go up because of that. So I think there's this balance that we're looking at, is as the rents go up, is how do we maintain those smaller stores that may or may not be able to afford the rents that are increasing.
Now, can you speak to, I recently heard a number that something like 80% of the revenues of downtown businesses comes from visitors. Is that correct?
It's about 60%.
60% of the revenue. Well, that's not too far from half and half, so that's a little balanced, more balanced.
And I guess it's better to say that visitors support 60% of our overall retail. So we see that when they look at the patrons that are coming in, maybe it's not a direct correlation to revenue, but about 60% of when somebody comes in the door, it's about 60-40.
Okay, great. And we're gonna be talking more, drilling down more into this Urban Land Institute study, visionary process that Manhattan Beach has gone through and is now going through the aftermath of. We'll be right back with that discussion. You're listening to the South Bay Show, ladies and gentlemen. This is a great time to, if you have questions or comments, perhaps you can call in at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. And, of course, at this time, we also like to thank a sponsor. Jackie, who do we want to thank today?
Well, Joe, you know it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, certified public accountants and consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, visit the website at www.bcws.com or call 310-542-0011.
Okay, so now Wayne, I'm gonna ask you to talk a little bit about strategies. Marisa had mentioned that there are strategies that need to be executed or were sort of highlighted by the Urban Land Institute report. And of course, this is going to take political will. It's going to take, you know, agreement, and that's one of the things that is sometimes difficult to attain. What are the strategies going forward, Wayne, that will get us where we want to go?
Well, we have the low-hanging fruit, if you will, the easy implementation of various things. And I talked about, the beautification, but of course, there's also long-term beautification projects. One of the things the ULI stressed was the history of Manhattan Beach, particularly downtown, when it was a sleepy beach town and the roads were narrow, and it really, our parking and roadway infrastructure wasn't designed for the demands today. And one of the recommendations was we should widen the sidewalks to allow for street dining as well as pedestrian traffic, and that's going to take money. And whenever it comes to spending money on capital projects, there's competing interests. You know, some people want a new skate park, some people want a new Olympic-sized swimming pool. One of the necessities, and it isn't sexy, but we have to maintain everything underground, our aging, 60 to 80-year-old water and sewer infrastructure. So, and of course, people don't want increased taxes. There was a hint that by the ULI that perhaps since we have a AAA bond rating, the best you can possibly have, that we should maybe have a bond measure to finance some of the long-term improvements. That is going to, there'll be public hearings and considerable discussion, and that's the greatest thing. We have public input. Mm-hmm. And that was why we had all of the, we had literally 100 to 150 residents that participated. And, you talk about low voter turnout and low public participation. A number of residents and business owners, many of which are, residents as well, participated in the process because as a community, we're going to make our downtown, the best that it can possibly be. And it's not just to serve visitors, but also the businesses serve our residents. And if you look at some of the businesses that have failed recently, it was because they weren't doing a good job of serving our residents. And 9 times out of 10, a new business came in that could do a better job and was successful. And that's what got all of this discussion started, was there were a number of businesses that had failed. One just didn't keep up with the technology and was replaced by the internet, and that seems to be an ongoing challenge of all retailers and not just downtown. Some of the businesses, the small business owners said, as Marisa had mentioned, were being priced out because of the high rent, and some wanted rent control. Mm-hmm. The ULI said, definitely not. The marketplace should dictate. And if rents get too high, the tenants won't pay those rents. And, economics 101, the rents will come down to a reasonable level. They also said, there were a number of positive recommendations. This is what you should do. There are also a number of recommendations for things that we shouldn't be doing. And another one was some people wanted a ban on chain stores, thinking that that prices out the small mom-and-pop businesses. And while the ULI said we want to limit the size of the stores, so we don't want any large chain, you know, large storefront chain stores, that's better equipped in the Manhattan Village Mall, you know, on the Sepulveda Corridor and also on the Rosecrans Corridor. They said, we don't want to have those artificial restrictions. And somebody said, we don't have any chain stores in downtown. And then and someone else said, oh, but what about Starbucks, Coffee Bean, Pete's Coffee, Subway? And what was interesting was a new business opened up towards the end of last year, a clothing store at the intersection, close to the intersection of Highland Avenue and Manhattan Beach Boulevard, and it was called Marine Layer. And everybody said, wow, this is a beautiful example of a mom-and-pop store. Well, it turned out that in talking to one of the principals, they were about to open their 11th store and in a couple of months. And one of the recommendations was, not by the ULI, but by a business owner, was we should put a limit on, you know, chain stores, and they had 11 was the magic number. If you have 11 stores, you don't belong in downtown Manhattan Beach. And actually, I found out later that came from an ordinance in the city of San Francisco, which is very different from downtown Manhattan Beach. But, you know, it was more the positive things that we should be doing was the greatest benefit that the ULI came up with. And they had, you know, an expert panel. One, you know, was a banker. Another was a land developer. Another was a person that, like Marisa, whose area of expertise is land use planning. And each of them spoke from their aspect of how the downtown can be successful, and we, you know, continue to be successful and remain viable, including competing with outside forces like the internet. You know, some people will go into a small shop, they'll shop around, then they'll get on their smartphone and buy it on the internet and for less money. But I've often told small business owners when they say, we can't compete with the mall on Sepulveda, or we can't compete with the internet, my comment, having a, you know, a marketing and accounting background, is if that's who you're competing with or trying to, then you have the wrong business model. You have to have a unique market niche, something that is not currently being served or provided by with traditional large you know, brick-and-mortar retailers or the internet. And when you look at all the successful businesses and restaurants downtown, they're the ones that know how to serve visitors and, you know, residents, and they're doing an outstanding job, and they're thriving. And they also have that small-town, village-like feel. You look at, you know, Mike Sims and, you know, the Sims Group. They have Simsies. Well, the Tin Roof is not downtown, but they know what the market, you know, how to drive customers, pricing, what to provide in the way of service. The same thing with Mike Zizelis, you know, in the Zizelis Group. So what we need is to continue with, you know, entrepreneurs like that. The Downtown Business and Professional Association does a great job. They're more the marketing and promotion arm for the local businesses. They're doing a great job. But we saw the whole community come together, and we got a lot of great solutions. Not all may be implemented, and certainly, you know, not initially. But over time, we're going to have a great downtown. And then we also need to look at, of course, the Sepulveda Corridor and the Rosecrans Corridor, which is more the larger chain store, you know, businesses. But one thing that we also have to struggle with is looking at the ratio of for the ground floor in downtown, you know, how much of it should be retail, how much of it should be banks, and office buildings and real estate offices.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we should have mostly retail on the ground floor, and then on the second level, that's more appropriate for office buildings, for
mm-hmm.
office space.
You don't want the retailers to take over the downtown retail? Or the realtors.
The realtors
to take over
and
downtown.
The banks.
Yeah,
it's not
banks.
It's just that realtors, it's financial advisors, banks,
right.
More professional services.
Right, professional services.
The argument is, even if we have, real estate offices, preferably on the second level, they still drive business because people come in and they patronize our restaurants,
mm-hmm.
they shop, their local shops. So that in and of itself is not a bad thing. It's just coming up with a healthy mix. And we don't want our downtown to be all office. That would be, some people are saying that, the downtown is dying on the vine, and that's not true. But, of course, if you don't have a plan, namely a downtown-specific plan, it's like they say, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So we just need to have a good plan so that things don't get out of control.
Wayne, I want to just emphasize one point that you made and drill down a little bit. Rent control. Many people, go and talk about rent control, but there's many examples near us. I mean, in Santa Monica and so forth, of rent control and what it can do to a community. But letting the rent float, though, that will definitely just tend to go up and up and up and up. I mean, is there a limit? Aren't there companies that will pay perhaps anything to be in Manhattan Beach downtown?
We actually have an example of one store, and so I'm told they have a Manhattan Beach presence,
mm-hmm.
but it's as a loss leader. It's
right.
a chain, and they do that just to be able to advertise that they have a Manhattan Beach presence.
Right.
But they do sell and they do provide a service, but it's arguable, whether maybe having one business like that is enough. We don't want our entire downtown to be that way. But most people would say, and in fact the ULI recommendation was, that you really shouldn't have artificial barriers. You should let the marketplace control the rents. And if someone comes in and they're going to be edged out, they wanted this, a number of local businesses wanted the city council to help out. They wanted us to freeze rents, and we just didn't feel that was appropriate. And I've seen in other areas where, and again, economics 101, the rents get too high, people refuse to pay those rents, and the rents come back down, supply and demand. So we need to have businesses that will be vibrant, and we don't want them priced out. But the ULI, one of the very first recommendations they said is rent control is not a solution.
You've
got to find the root problem, which is having businesses that serve residents and visitors.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not up for the city to subsidize businesses that don't have a good working model.
Exactly.
That just makes sense. That just makes sense. If you have a business there and they're not serving the needs of the community and the visitors, it's not working. So we certainly don't want the city council or anybody subsidizing them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And one benefit of having the ULI come in was we actually got business owners and commercial property owners together, and there was a meaningful dialogue between the two, so each could see the other's concerns. Obviously somebody that comes in and buys a building, and now they're going to be having a higher mortgage, higher property taxes, and they have to make a profit as well in the rent that they charge. But of course, businesses price their goods and services based on what they have to pay in their costs, including rent. So both sides got together and could actually, and they emphasized with each of the other groups. So that was a great aspect of having this ULI process.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things
Go ahead, Marissa.
I would just like to add any great downtown looks at a sustainable plan for how their downtown will develop. So yeah, part of that is a healthy mix of uses and businesses. And when the ULI, I just wanted to touch on this point, when the ULI looked at the market potential portion of one of the aspects that we were focusing on, the question was, what are the pros and cons of restricting certain uses? Because the end goal is to have, whether to the ground floor or to the second floor, every city needs a healthy mix. I don't think that the city is trying to single out any one type of use. And what is more important in that healthy mix is not only the type of businesses we're trying to attract to serve our residents, most importantly, and the visitors, but the importance of looking at those ratios of streetscape versus top floor is really an intent to keep the city vibrant. An office potentially on the bottom floor doesn't have the same pedestrian feel or activity, mm-hmm. which encourages pedestrian activity and use along the ground floor. So it's not necessarily, we believe a healthy mix is essential for a sustainable and long-term vision for a downtown. We're looking also to make sure that we keep it a vibrant downtown area, and that the reason why retail was discussed at the base floor was for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have a question. So this sounds to me like it could be easily solved by coming up with a percentage, right? If you plan percentages ahead of time, say, okay, we need, we'd like 50% of retail, we'd like 20% of, financial-based businesses, we'd like another 20% of, like, maybe personal services businesses. And that way, anybody coming in that's going to buy a building that they're going to rent space to, they'll know ahead of time that, yeah, depending on what the percentages are when you need to rent it out, you may be limited as to who you can rent it to. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement. And one of the great recommendations that ULI made was for the need for a specific plan. And basically what that plan does is, there's a plan that can be more visionary, that can be more policy oriented, that really just sets the umbrella goals and policies for a downtown area. But the specific plan is actually more detailed. It is actually at the zoning level where you can provide more specifics and parameters for development, which you just mentioned. That will give us the process of preparing a specific plan will give us the opportunity to listen to the community, the business association, and all the business and other stakeholders around our city to possibly weigh in on what that mix would be. And then we can translate it into zoning regulations that will help when somebody comes in and wants to locate in Manhattan Beach, they understand the envelope in which they can build in.
This sounds doable, Joe, doesn't it? I mean, it really does sound doable.
Yeah. Wayne?
Oh, I was going to say, well, one of the things is before we retained the services of ULI, we had our planning commission. There were a couple of public hearings that they held, and they looked at, what might be an appropriate ratio of retail to office, and then, the aspect of ground floor versus second floor. And they couldn't come up with a solution. And in fact, what I heard in watching the Planning Commission meetings was that you really can't have any hard and fast rules. And within the downtown area, each block is unique, and the buildings are unique. So to come up with, and ULI generally supported that notion, that you have to look at it at the detail level. And you mentioned earlier the devil is in the details.
Mm-hmm.
When the rubber meets the road, so to speak, it's really difficult to come up with a specific rule. Now, interestingly, the old downtown design guidelines actually specified retail on the ground floor, office space on the second floor, but unfortunately, that plan wasn't followed. A lot of the entire plan basically collected dust, and that will not happen with the downtown specific plan once we have that. You know, if you have a plan, you need to follow it. That's a recipe for disaster. But it seems like what is reasonable in the specific downtown, that's subjective. Everyone has a different opinion. But when we get to, and we have the experts that are going to be designing the downtown specific plan with lots and lots and lots of public input and business input, residents, businesses, and also the residents that live in the downtown area, I trust we are going to come up with a great plan, and once we do, that's going to be implemented, you know, for years to come. And it will also be a living document. It will have to be updated as things change, because the older plan, that never happened. But it's going to be through public input. But right now we have a number of things on our checklist, you know, the low-hanging fruit, which is the short-term improvements. Then we have the midterm and then the long-term things, you know, beyond 18 months or 2 years. And we're hitting the ground running on those. And now the one thing that's going to take time is to come up with the downtown specific plan. And then that will be the land use standards going forward. And the most important thing is we are going to have considerable public input, just as we did when we had the ULI and they had the one-on-one interviews, because you want to make sure that we're serving our community. We want to make sure we're serving our businesses and, of course, our visitors, because, as was mentioned earlier, you know, they contribute to our economy. So it's going to be a great partnership, and I look forward to great things.
Right.
And the one thing I just wanted to add, just on the last thought on a specific plan, not only can it provide some sort of parameters, one of the things that's important to me to convey through this process is that it can also provide flexibility in development. You know, there are some antiquated zoning regulations that may not have been revisited for a while that could help provide more flexibility for a business owner in how they design and develop their parcel. That also can be, that's the benefit of a specific plan. You are revisiting the entire fabric of that area through the zoning process.
Wow, we've discussed an awful lot this hour, and Jackie, it's the 45-minute mark.
Yes, it is. The Manhattan Beach 360 events calendar is brought to you by the Strand House. The Strand House offers the quintessential beach dining experience, where the incredible food is as spectacular as the view. The iconic location overlooking the Manhattan Beach Pier provides an exceptional setting for any occasion. Recently named one of Zagat's 30 Under 30, LA's hottest up-and-coming chefs, Chef Greg Hosinski crafts traditional dishes in new and exciting adaptations. The Strand House presents any number of ways to elevate your dining experience. You can savor a handcrafted cocktail at the upstairs bar overlooking the Pacific, join friends around the fire pit and choose from over 40 wines by the glass, reserve the wine cellar for an intimate gathering or important business dinner, enjoy lunch, brunch, or dinner in the light-filled dining room, dine al fresco on one of the patios, or attend their unique culinary master series. In keeping with the treasured beach city's tradition, the Strand House also offers dancing Thursday through Saturday nights and Sunday afternoons. Yes, that's right. Sundays at the beach are back. For additional information and to make reservations, call 310-545-7470 or visit the website at www.thestrandhousemb.com.
All right. And I think we have someone from the chamber.
Yes, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, James O'Callaghan. Hey, Jim,
how's
how are you?
Doing? Good.
Good. So, Jim, we've been discussing the Urban Land Institute report. Give us a little idea, your perspective, Jim O'Callaghan, President, CEO of the Chamber. You know, what's your feedback from your member businesses on the ULI report?
I think overall everybody's excited after years of discussion and, you know, a lot of debate as to what it should look like, that, you know, the process is moving forward. I mean, everybody has their pet projects they want to see, but at the same time, everybody knows that working together is the only way we're going to get a successful outcome with this. I think Marissa is completely right. You know, we've missed on a couple of opportunities through the years to really address some zoning issues, and this will allow that to be rectified. At the same time, having an ongoing program and an ongoing specific plan will allow everybody to, in the long run, know exactly where they stand when they're going in and trying to develop a new piece.
Wonderful. What's going on with the chamber? Anything? Any events coming up soon?
A couple of things. Next Friday, because today being Good Friday and all, we decided to push it back a little bit. So next Friday we will have our Business Connection lunch. It'll be at the Marriott. So we look forward to everybody being there. We also have a couple of exciting things coming up with YEA in the month of April. We have the CEO panel. So the students will be meeting with five CEOs in the Manhattan Beach community to get a good idea of, you know, what they need to do going forward to get their business off the ground. And then we will also have an investor panel just the beginning of May there. So I believe at this point we have 10 solid business plans coming through. And of those 10 plans, each of them will receive some funding, but through this process, they'll be able to basically like a Shark Tank type panel, be able to ask for additional funding as well to get their business off the ground.
Right.
And then we also have Bite at the Beach coming up. So we look forward to our second annual Bite at the Beach. That will be May 16th. So we look forward to everybody being there.
Hey, Jim, I have to ask you, the Young Entrepreneurs Academy, is that the same organization as the national organization?
Yeah, basically how it works is the national organization has developed the curriculum, and then there are several satellite franchises, basically. So we are one of six on the West Coast, and there are about 30 nationwide right now.
Wow! Well, we encourage people to visit the ManhattanBeachChamber.com website and get involved. It's an amazing program, and if you want to know more about the national program, it's YEAUSA.org. That's Young Entrepreneurs Academy, YEAUSA.org. That's great.
And one other thing I neglected to share, April 28th, we're having our monthly business caravan. So those businesses that are interested in signing up, we've for the last year have been going around meeting with about 10 businesses monthly. We've had various representatives from commissions, council, and whatnot with us through that time. And we're just going out asking the businesses, specific needs that they have, things that they would like to see different, ways that the city, the chamber, other organizations can help them, grow their business here in Manhattan Beach.
Wonderful, yeah. Great.
I have a question.
Sure.
This could be directed to either James or Marissa or Wayne. When you're talking about maybe your specific plan, figuring out, say, percentages of, as I said, retail, restaurant, service business, that sort of thing, by doing that, would that, in effect, give the existing businesses that are in the spaces that fill those percentages, would that actually give them some additional protection? As in, just as an example, let's say you have three nail salons in downtown Manhattan Beach. By keeping those percentages, that would avoid having 15 more nail salons come into Manhattan Beach. So, in effect, you're actually driving business to the existing places. Am I making sense?
I'll take that question. Right now, when there's an established business, whether it's a restaurant or retail or office, that is the incumbent use. If someone wants to come in, let's say the ownership changes, generally it would be that very same use. If they change the use and the intensity, then that dictates more parking. But the better way to control, rather than having arbitrary percentages, is to have a use permit process. And then if someone wants to come in and have a different type of business, then there would be a public hearing. And then the public can weigh in on whether for that specific location that type of business is appropriate. Mm. And there'd be public input, there'd be business input, the chamber can provide their input, as also the Downtown Business Association. That is a better way of going about it than having hard and fast restrictions, because times change. And if you have arbitrary rules, then sometimes over time it doesn't meet the needs of the community. So that's been discussed, but all of that will be reviewed when it comes time to creating the downtown specific plan. And maybe that in combination with a ratio or a formula, you know, might be the approach.
Marisa, can you speak on that issue of conditional use permits?
I would, yes. I just want to add, though, I think that whereas a specific plan can provide some parameters, I think we want to be cautious about this percentage issue. We want to provide the businesses a means to flourish, and I think ULI came through and said that to regulate percentages would be more of a heavy hand that could have some unintended consequences. I want to reiterate, we have a wonderful, healthy downtown. Some of the things that we're looking at is to through the specific plan, is to tweak areas that may provide a little bit more vibrancy, a little bit more flexibility for the businesses, or maybe define a little bit more parameters that help businesses just do well. On the conditional use side, it is probably a better way to go. We don't want to be in the business of regulating what, you know, how many nail salons come in necessarily. The market is a very healthy market, and it has served downtown Manhattan well. But the conditional use permit allows some flexibility and parameters and defines what may or may not be able to be within a certain area under certain conditions. So that is
okay.
A better
all right. That
answers
my question. All right. Okay, great.
Well, we're getting down to the end of the show. I want to thank you, Jim O'Callaghan, for joining us. Any other announcements from the chamber side, Jim?
Just, we're looking forward to seeing how this process goes through. And, you know, we're working closely with not only the downtown area, but up on the north end and Sepulveda to make sure that, you know, going forward, their plans can also be addressed as well.
Right. And Wayne, I want to just give you a moment. Just generally speaking, the Urban Land Institute did really cover the entire city. Were there some bullet points for the other areas of the city besides the downtown?
Well, actually, their focus was limited to just downtown.
Oh, I see.
It would be great, maybe at a future time, we haven't come back and provide guidance on the Sepulveda corridor and the Rosecrans corridor. But the one thing in all of this that's essential for the health of not only our downtown, but the other business corridors, is I urge our residents to dine locally, shop locally, and buy locally. You know, keep your dollars local in Manhattan Beach. That helps our businesses, it helps the residents, and of course, a side effect is sales tax revenue helps the city.
Right. Great. Wonderful. And Marisa, if you could emphasize that point, local is everything, isn't it? Buy local.
Buy local. Our residents, what they do, the fabric of our community is very important. I just want to summarize the saying, we concluded the ULI process, but we are just now starting. When we want to engage the same cross-section of stakeholders that we did through the ULI process, so we encourage them to be continually involved, and we'll be reaching out to those same stakeholders.
Excellent.
We need their input.
Excellent. Mayor Wayne Powell and Marisa Lundstedt, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
It's been a great process. We look forward to more reports down the road as things get implemented. And that's wonderful. Thank you for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you soon. We'll be back on Tuesday and, of course, next week. Have a great Easter. And any last words, Jackie?
No, happy Easter, everybody, and happy Passover.
Happy Easter and happy Passover, of course. Thank you very much. Bye-bye now.